Hello, and welcome to show number 2431 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
What Storymore allows this workforce to do and allows us to do is to be whoever we would like. And all we have to do is be convincing in that particular role. So it literally takes away the disability as a barrier. And the only real barrier is your actual talent. And that's what we want to provide, is a platform for those who are talented.
And we'll be talking about some great opportunities if you're a creator, or even if you're interested in radio dramas, listening to them.
If you like listening to audio dramas or performing in them, you'll like Storymore. We'll talk with CEO Micah Thomas and Senior Vice President Tanya Malevich about Storymore, its origins, how it works, and the content they produce. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tips come from Micah and Tanya.
I would say my tip of the week that helps me, and this is every week, is to make sure that you really try to itemize your week in blocks that are manageable. I wake up each day and try to come up with three specific things, no matter how large or how small, that I can accomplish that day. And you come to discover life is much more digestible when you can take those few moments and realize you don't have to sort of buy the farm or go for the home run. Every step that you make toward your end goals, that's what's important to take.
That's a tough one to top. My tip of the week from a voice acting standpoint is just do it. Just pretend you're never going to send your audition in. Say you're interested in joining Storymore as a talent. Reach out to us. Send a good example of what you think represents you and your range, your talent. It doesn't have to be super polished and professional sounding. It can be you doing your favorite monologue or telling a story with different voices, maybe even, to showcase different emotions. Record it. Don't think about it too much. Send it off, and we'd be glad to hear from you.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Micah and Tanya.
We have two guests with us today, and I thought we could start out by having you, Micah, introduce yourself first.
Absolutely. My name is Micah Thomas. I am the CEO of Magalio Media, and by extension, its subsidiary, Storymore.
And our other guest is Tanya. Tanya, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. My name is Tanya Milevich, and I'm the SVP of Accessibility at Storymore. I'm so excited to be here.
So most of our listeners have visual impairments, and you said you're SVP of Accessibility. Does either of you?
I am visually impaired myself as well, and I have co-founded a company called GetBraille.com. So we produce materials in accessible format, and part of my job at Storymore, in addition to voice acting, is putting scripts into alternative formats, including when folks have questions about their tech setups, microphones, interfaces, software, how to record. I would be the contact person to assist there as well.
And how about you, Micah? Do you have any visual impairment?
I myself am also visually impaired, mostly due to having albinism as well, which has affected me visually. So that led me to Alabama School for the Blind, starting out around sixth grade. And I have a visual acuity of about 2200, which was legally blind in the state of Alabama. And so that's connected me to this great U.S. domestic community and beyond. And I've had an opportunity to network with a lot of those folks, learn a lot myself, including Braille. For the most part, we still remain very active, me and my wife, in the community. And she's also a visually impaired actress as well, with glaucoma and low vision. So we identify with this community personally.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the audio drama production company Storymore that includes many people with vision loss.
In the introduction, we mentioned Storymore a few times. Can one of you tell us what Storymore is, and then we can talk a little bit more in detail about what it does?
Well, Storymore is an audio drama production company that obviously lends to the talents of those who are visually impaired or completely blind to give them an opportunity to be able to perform, whether that be in music scoring, audio engineering, or voice acting, voice performance in that sense. And beyond that, of course, our product is available for everyone. And our service available to those beyond the visually impaired community. But we certainly position ourselves to give them opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise get for entertainment performance, like in Hollywood or something like that.
And this is a relatively new organization, as I understand it. Can you tell us a little bit about how it came to be?
Sure. I myself am actually an enthusiast for radio plays. So my parents kind of gave me the opportunity to listen to radio plays and things like that, driving in the car on a family vacation or something of that nature. And so I developed a love for it early. As the years progressed, I looked for other solutions for finding all the audio dramas that I liked in one place. At the time, in searching the internet, I never actually found that. So I figured, why not develop a platform where we can curate all of those great audio dramas that are out there in this big subterranean audio fiction podcast world and put them all together in one place. And so that was how it came to be. And as a content creator myself, this gave us a great platform to produce our own original dramas as well.
Now, when I think of radio dramas, I think of the era after radio was invented, but before television became popular. But that was a long time ago. Is there a lot of radio drama available?
As Tanya can probably attest, there is a great deal of audio drama content creation that is still happening now, not so much in popularity in the domestic U.S. Across the pond. We actually get a good deal of downloads and sort of play from the audience there because it's still a mainstream medium of entertainment. But here in the U.S., it's not exactly so. So the idea of radio dramas is still somewhat antiquated, like, you know, 1940s radio shows, as you mentioned, Johnny Dollar, The Whisperer, The Shadow, Dragnet, all of those types of things. So we're hoping to sort of reignite a love for what is a huge community of creators that simply have not pipelined to the mainstream next to film and cinema.
And presumably with much better audio quality than people were able to achieve in the 40s.
Absolutely. But they did a pretty good job for the time that they were in. I'm still very, very impressed with the creativity they used with their sound effects. And of course, adding in really great actors with names you would recognize like Clark Gable or Virginia Mayo and so many others.
Back when I started out of high school too, I accidentally located audio drama and was hooked ever since. So that presented itself not only through the old-time radio that we're mentioning, but to me, how I got started was through podcasting. And it really is making a huge comeback. Podcasts come in a variety of ways. And I think the general public is already used to expecting multiple varieties of formatting when it comes to podcasts, anything from a single narrator to sound effects, music, and dramatized stories. And then, of course, the inclusive aspect, too. I know the blindness community is a huge fan of both dramatized audiobooks that have movies for the mind feels, as well as audio drama that Storymore is putting forward in one place. And this does not need an additional audio description track. So from the ground up, this medium is ready and inclusive for all.
So I was wondering, Tanya, how did you get involved in this effort?
I ran across a casting call a while back through a Facebook group I was part of. There are a couple of Facebook groups in what we call the audio drama community, by which I mean podcasters who are engaged in creating and recommending audio dramas. And I located a casting call there specifically for one of the romance/drama stories, Helen and the Heart. And I decided to give it a go. It seemed very exciting to read about. And of course, there was material there regarding curating the best of the best audio dramas in one place, which got me excited about it. And I also enjoy good stories. I like to be involved in all sorts of genres. I'm a huge horror fan, but everyone likes drama and romance too. So I sent off an audition, and that was the start of it.
To that end, Pete, I have to add in that I still get tears in my eyes when I re-listen to her original audition for Helen in the Heart, to let you know what a phenomenal talent Tanya was. And we were more than excited to add her into the acting pool for what she could bring to not just that character, but as we later discovered, almost anything we throw at her. So just had to add that in.
In a stage performance, people typically do not have the script with them. In an audio-only performance, the audience can't tell whether you have the script with you or not. Do you typically memorize your lines or not?
I generally have scripts in front of me, and the way that I handle it as a voice actor, and everyone has a different way of doing things, I will format my script in Notepad, believe it or not, and I'll put a clause on each line. So half of a line on its own line, followed by a blank line, and so forth. Essentially, I use my screen reader as a teleprompter. I've found that Braille is a little bit too noisy, at least with my workflow, so I don't use Braille to read scripts. Memorization, we haven't done anything live where this is in front of an audience and it would be best to memorize. And for me, I was able to utilize audio teleprompting with a screen reader to listen as I speak or as I record the lines. We've also had the ability to record separately. So in both situations, either where we're recording over Zoom or separate, I'm able to use this option. Others might use Braille or other methods.
I would find that very complicated to be listening and talking at the same time, but I understand that's a fairly common way to speak what you're reading if you can't read it visually.
It takes practice, but it's certainly doable if you're determined and ready to have to commit for a good while to practice.
And what's really neat about what you're doing is that, you know, mobility for a lot of visually impaired people isn't really an easy thing. They can't readily drive from one venue to another to be in one place. But you guys can do this all remotely over Zoom, as you said. And then with some good editing afterwards, people may not even know the difference, I guess.
Surprisingly, we're able to accomplish a great bit at distance. The remote working, essentially, that kind of became a thing during COVID in 2020, was something that was already very familiar to us because that was our workflow. That was the operation. We have voice actors as far as Cape Town, South Africa. And just to give you a simple example, that particular actress in Cape Town did what I'll term as a romance scene in one of our dramas with a voice actor who was in Chicago. Him and her had never seen each other, never rehearsed, and that wasn't one of those cases where we did this by Zoom. And again, as you mentioned, through our editing techniques, we were able to blend together what was a very realistic love scene without them ever rehearsing or practicing or anything. And people are quite amazed that this was not done in studio with the energy of both people at one time. So again, technology allows us to do a great deal with remote operations in this particular field.
I'll also add that the script writing comes into it too. In a lot of the scripts that I've read and seen as well for StoryMorph, for all of us actors, they are so detailed in direction. There's parenthetical advice and direction given as to what the character might be feeling, thinking, or what their motivation is in that scene. So that really, really helps. And then also providing multiple takes allows the director then to put the puzzle together and make everything fit seamlessly. And sometimes, of course, you know, if something doesn't quite fit, because that does happen from time to time, we might provide an additional take.
So there's a lot involved here in getting one of these radio dramas together. You talked about script writing and editing. Can you give us an idea of what kind of other tasks are involved and what kind of other expertise your members have?
As I mentioned, there's a sort of array of positions that are involved with bringing all this together. Obviously, you have to have the writing, you have to have someone to edit. But to be able to have the resources that we have for music, we offer a great opportunity and a platform for a lot of independent music artists, essentially, to get some of their music, whether that be in some sort of pre or post role, or even within the story itself. Just to create some interest. I wonder who that artist is. I haven't heard them, or something of that nature. So that's an avenue by which we provide some exposure there. And for us, the process is very simple, and we keep it organic so that we can come up with the best, most energetic product for what we're trying to accomplish. So of course, there's the writing. Then we send it out to our voice actors. There's sort of a round of recording, if you will, and then the editing begins. And within the editing, there may be a couple of requests for an additional line done a different way, just to fit the energy, just in case it doesn't match, which is very rare most of the time. And then once the sound and the dialogue and the sound effects have been edited together, then we move to the music phase. Music is last for us. In many cases, we kind of do the background music or the cinematic music scoring while listening to the actual drama so that everything fits. Those big accents or big surprises or builds and dynamics in the music. So it's a lot to it, but we try to keep the process as simple as possible.
How do you generate other sound effects besides the music?
Some of the fun in this is that sound creation and sound capture is a large part of what we do. So we have in the past gone with licensed sounds. So we'll go out and go to a sound catalog and select something that we need. And that's still something we do if it's an extremely rare sound or something that, you know, just can't be mistaken for whatever it is. But in other cases, very similar to the 1940s, we're able to capture a lot of audio that's convincing just with things around the studio, around the house, outside. There's lots of tools, components. I mean, anything can be used in some way to help formulate a particular sound. So we have a lot of fun with that part, being creative to try to figure out, all right, you know, what is this particular Foley or sound effect that we need to fit this particular prompt?
I'm wondering how this is all pulled together. It sounds like you have people scattered all around the world, a lot of contributors, a lot of tasks to do. How is it all focused in one place?
Well, everything gets sent back to the corporate office here in Orlando. So we kind of, I would say, hedge everything here to complete the process. Obviously, the final product comes with our approval here. But again, due to the technology, editors are able to do this at home. They're able to do this on their own DAW systems, if you will, or DAS systems or digital audio workstations at home. And they're able to accomplish a great deal just wherever they are in the world. And we send those files through, you know, large format transfer services like, you know, I would say Dropbox or something like that. And we're able to kind of pull all those things together, edit it through. And again, it works beautifully. The end result, you would never know there was that much to it.
This sounds like an awful lot of work. How many people does it take to create a typical audio drama?
Well, the answer would be it's mostly the voice actors. And that stems on how many actors are actually in any particular script. So we write these things. Not so much worried about our resources in terms of talent. We kind of write the story first, and then we figure out after the fact, all right, you know, who can be in it? How many voices can they play? Most of our voice actors can perform more than one voice type. Katie Lee is one of those actors who's a Disney veteran and has done quite a few things. And she has a couple of productions where she's done a couple of different characters all in the same production. As a matter of fact, Epic of Fic is one of those examples. So that particular skill alone cuts down on the necessary workforce. And then when it comes to the actual editing, directing, and engineering, that can normally be shared between one or two individuals.
In terms of your listenership, I'm kind of curious, what fraction of your listeners do you think are sighted versus visually impaired?
for those that we are targeting essentially with this product as something that is mixed and designed and conceptualized for a particular market, which would be the blind and visually impaired, our numbers indicate that half of the people that listen have some sort of visual impairment. And we are continuing our efforts to sort of increase brand awareness within this particular community with obviously great programs and great services and great groups and organizations like the NFB or the ACA or something of that nature, and then local and state chapters as well. So we expect that number to continue to grow. But at the same time, what's happened so far is that that blind and visually impaired community obviously has sighted friends and family and all of that, and they tend to spread the word, and word of mouth marketing continues to be a strong force in our growth.
And what fraction of the people who create the material do you figure have visual impairments?
That would be a larger number. I would say 70% of our workforce is blind or visually impaired in some way.
And how do you distribute your material? How do people get a hold of it? Is it streamed? Is it podcast?
It's all streamed through, but well, you can go both avenues, I guess, to answer that question. So StoryMore can be accessed on Apple Podcast. We work that as a primary, but you can find it anywhere you enjoy your favorite podcast. We host everything through Spreaker by iHeartRadio. And we also have that going as an RSS feed through DirectStream with our website, storymore.com, as well. So in any of those avenues, you can find a way to listen to us.
Including, of course, on the A-Lady, the Echoes, if you ask it to play StoryMore podcast.
So Tanya, you mentioned that you're also a voiceover actress, presumably in mainstream media. Do you notice a difference between that and this?
So I'm all over the place in terms of voice acting. I've done work with other audio drama creators through podcasting, which is primarily how their audio dramas, similar to StoryMore, are also distributed. In addition, I've done quite a lot of recently audio description work. For anyone that isn't aware, that's just an additional track added to a piece of media like a film or a TV show. And it describes visual elements on screen. Then I've also voice acted in full cast audio books where they have multiple sound effects and actors and so forth, like graphic audio productions, for instance. That's very similar to an audio drama where you work with a director and narrate the story on your own, send in these files, and it's also remote. All of it is related in the fact that it's performance. You're still kind of understanding the character and the role. And I find it to be all amazingly creative work. And the best part is just meeting other team members who have the same passion for bringing a project from point A, where it's starting, to point Z, where it's a finished product to be enjoyed.
For people who are interested in your content, can you give them an idea of what types of material you cover?
We actually cover pretty much any genre of entertainment. So our roster is filling out with comedies, sci-fi, horror, romance, kids themed stories. So there's a large plethora that we're trying to reach. We have Westerns. And even if they have not been produced yet, they are in the queue to be produced. And we're just kind of filling out each one of those characters, which, might I add, is another huge benefit of this in terms of having this particular workforce, is because in many cases, a lot of roles in the genres I just mentioned, such as Westerns or action or something like that, there may be a barrier. I'm not going to just say that there is, but there may be, and probably should be expected to be, a barrier for those who are visually impaired and those who are blind from playing certain roles without the film being written a certain way. And of course, that's due to a lot of reasons, liability or whatever and what have you. But what StoryMore allows this workforce to do and allows us to do is to be whoever we would like. And all we have to do is be convincing in that particular role. So it literally takes away the disability as a barrier. And the only real barrier is your actual talent. And that's what we want to provide, is a platform for those who are talented.
I'll also add that a lot of the content has proper representation built in. So there are characters who happen to have visual impairments and so forth. And there are one-shot stories that are themed around a certain time of year, like Thanksgiving too. So there really is a little bit of everything for everyone.
Well, this sounds like a really great platform for not only disabled artists to be able to showcase their work, but also to share it with the wider community who are interested in radio dramas. Great work.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about StoryMore or Get Braille and how to contact them.
Well, if people are interested in finding out more about StoryMore, where would you send them?
For those who are interested in finding out more about StoryMore, we certainly encourage our social media channels, where you can go to TikTok and follow us at MyStoryMore. We have and that's all one word, obviously. And we have a ton of preview content on there, behind the scenes access. And all of that great content is shared also to our Facebook page, which again is facebook.com/MyStoryMore, or on Twitter, I guess X now, at StoryMore with no my included. You can also go to our website at storymore.com, which is also currently being redesigned and updated. So you guys will enjoy a new, awesome listening experience there as well.
And then you said people can listen to your product on any podcast catcher?
On any podcast catcher, we distribute to them all through an appropriate pipeline. And of course, if you're ever having trouble in any of those, again, storymore.com is the place that you can go. And from there, our product is free as well. So there's absolutely no cost barrier to enjoy this as well.
And if somebody had a question or wanted to inquire about getting involved, how would they reach you?
Absolutely. So from the talent side, they can just email talent@storymore.com. And that's the avenue for anything like auditions or questions about any actors, etc. And for those that are just looking for general information, you can just reach out to us at info@storymore.com as well. And we'll make sure that your email is forwarded to the proper party.
And Tanya, do you want to remind people about the service that you provide?
Of course. If they're are or is any need out there for materials and alternative formats, my company that my fiance and I founded is called getbraille.com. That's just GETBRAILLE. And we convert materials to Braille large print. We include audio description services there. And we are currently supporting StoryMore with, of course, any need for alternative scripts. We've also done the same for other theater companies and so forth. Feel free to reach out to us at Tanya, T-A-N-J-A, at getbraille.com as well.
And you can click on the show notes for episode 2431, which is this episode, at www.eyesonsuccess.net to find all of that information.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about bowling. Participating in a group sport can get you out meeting people, making friends, and staying healthy by being active. We'll talk with Robert Doc Wright, who has been a blind bowler for many years. He'll tell us how the sport works for someone with vision loss and how you can find one of the many blind bowling leagues around the country.
So if you can spare the time, join us for a striking show next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.